hello and welcome back to another fun episode of Fingers Crossed Podcast. We are your hosts. I am Sierra.
And I'm Christy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another riveting personality test-ish episode, which will be fun.
Yes, we're really excited. We
love the shit, as you know, if you listened to the last one.
And we got a lot of positive feedback on our first personality test episode, where we went over love languages, Enneagrams, and Myers-Briggs, and talked about all the ins and outs of that.
The big three, I would say.
Yeah, the big three. But this one, we want to kind of have a little more of a casual, funsy episode, where we take everything from BuzzFeed to Aura to going over your co-star and your birth chart. And
yeah, we wanted to get more into Zodiac, which I feel like is more serious, but also neither of us are really that versed in Zodiac. I feel like you are more than me.
I am. And I think it's fun, but I don't believe Zodiac is gospel like some people do, but I also don't poo-poo it either. I'm like kind of in the
poo-poo it.
Well, you know, like people are like, oh, Zodiac. I once went on a date with a guy. And when I told him I checked my Zodiac, he literally almost ended it on the spot. We weren't like boyfriend and girlfriend. We were like just like dating. And he almost ended it on the spot with me because he was like, that's not science. I can't be with someone who doesn't believe in science. And I was like, it was just a joke. But yeah. Anyway, that actually happened to me.
Some people do feel very polarized about Zodiac.
They do. They're like, how could you even possibly take something into account that is not completely logical? And I'm like, well, that's your prerogative. Fine. But we think it's fun.
We'll get there. Yeah. We're going to get into the whole discussion about the prevalence of Zodiac and what it means and what we think about it. Remember, this is all our opinions.
Not fact or like this is how it is. Just truly our opinions. But we love taking tests. And I feel like you guys do too. We had so many people reach out to us and be like, yeah, we love taking tests. Or I'm obsessed with personality types. Or this made me want to tell my parents to go look up their love languages.
Obviously, there's so many people in the world that it fits some much more than others. So it's interesting to hear like how people learn about themselves or yeah. not.
And also, what's so interesting is that learning what are the commonalities between, like, certain Enneagrams and certain Myers-Briggs. Like, for example, I had a girl message me, like, hey, Sierra, like, I'm also a ENFJ, and I'm also a 3-wing, too. Like, and I was like, I wonder how often that happens.
I actually looked it up. That there's, like, a lot of overlap. Yeah, there's definitely trends, I think, with different Myers-Briggs types tending to be different Enneagrams. Like, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure I looked up mine, ENTP. If you guys listen to that episode, we get into those more. But I'm pretty sure it's a high percentage of ENTPs tend to be sevens, also on the Enneagram. So it could be interesting to see how they relate to each other. Because it makes sense. Like, they're not the same, but also there's similarities enough that there should be trends, you know?
Makes me feel like I should go back to my research methods class that I took in high... I feel like all of us... Or not high school, college.
Speaking of science.
All of us took those research methods class and, like, where you had to make, like, surveys so you could correlate data and you just send them out. And it was always like posting on like pages like, can everyone please take my survey?
Oh, did you collect like empirical data?
Yeah, but it was like not for anything important. It was like how many people go to Disneyland at Chapman versus people that prefer to go to Knott's Berry Farm. And then you like do like a, you know.
Oh, interesting. Mine was like we used pre-existing data sets and did our own analysis of them.
We did that sometimes, but they would want us to also get data that didn't already exist. So we learned how to collect data and then how to analyze trends in data that we found. So it was interesting to us. Mm-hmm. So that was one of my classes I had. But anyway, it just made me think of that with the correlation of different personality types. We could go on about that all day, but first...
And we will. Well, we already did. If you haven't listened to that episode, it's our fifth episode, I believe, where we talked about those personality types. So it's definitely a good precursor to what we're talking about today, but we didn't really get into Zodiac in that one.
We had it planned
so much.
But we talked so much and we were like, okay, we're going to table that for another day. And that another day is today.
Wow. Look at that. And here we are. So we're going to do that and take a couple other quizzes on the air with you guys because we also wanted to do that before and we did not.
I love saying on the air. It's like we're radio
live.
Hosts. We're
live on the air. You know what's funny?
It's live right now when we're doing this.
True, except it's not live streaming, unfortunately. But I think back to when I was younger, I always wanted to have a radio show when I was in college specifically. And I never did it. But I think maybe it's because of Princess Diaries and Lily Moskowitz. Her Shut Up and Listen just really inspired me.
I really feel like that's like your brand. Shut up and listen. Versus me, it's like, if you would be so kind, please pull up a chair and have a
please listen. Silence your cell phones.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, that's now we're doing Shut Up and Listen. But I guess I'm just saying a podcast is, you know, a similar avenue of the radio show that I never
and
had.
You know, if you want to go into having a radio show, now you've got podcast experience under your belts. There, yeah, true. So there you go. Before we get into that, you know what comes first.
God, that sounded so threatening. You know what's next.
It's time for lemons. Lemons.
Okay, so we're going to get into our lemons and lemonade of the week. and what has been sour and what has been sweet about our week. I guess we don't really say what's been sweet, but
well, just some the sour lemonade. The, how do you find the silver lining of the sourness?
Right. I'm just gonna say, personally, I feel like I shouldn't even have a lemon this week because Sierra's lemon is just like a big thing. I just feel like you got to take the stage on this because it's a big thing that's happened. It's taken over, you know, a big part of your life.
It has. And so maybe instead of you can forego your lemon this week and help me find lemonade in mine.
Because I am
struggling. Okay. I know I'm pretty chipper in this episode because I like to be a chipper person and I like being an upper, what am I trying to say?
A bringer-upper,
a upper beater.
Just a little fixer-upper.
You have to sing a Disney song right now with everything to say. Anyway, I know you didn't mean to. Okay, so this may not be as a shock, but some of you who are listening to this may have been hearing about the massive Disney layoffs that have been happening. And they announced that across the theme park between Disneyland and Disney World, as well as some of the hotel group and Imagineers and like all departments across the United States Disney empire, they're laying off 28,000 employees.
28,000 is just like
so many.
Inconceivable.
It's so many. And it started last week and it started out with them sending us an email that went out to the entire company that said, unfortunately, due to the pandemic, and we've had such a loss of money and this and that.
Because they're still closed. They have been since
Disneyland
March.
Has been closed since March, but they have still been for the full-time employees who have been furloughed. We've all been furloughed. Not a single person has been let go to this point. They've been paying health care and schooling and child care benefits and all of that, like, throughout this time still.
Mm-hmm. Which is good.
It is really good. I just wish it didn't have to go 0 to 60. But anyway, so what happened is they sent us all an email saying, we're forced, we cannot sustain this any longer, we haven't been able to open, we're not going to recover for a while, like, we're going to have to do massive layoffs. Then it broke to the news, and it, you know, blew up everywhere, Disneyland's laying off all these employees, this and that, and they, you know, we were told that we would be getting phone calls that week if we were getting laid off. So everyone who got laid off got a personal phone call from a manager in their department. And it was the most horrible agony of waiting because all of us were just sitting waiting to be voted off the island. Like, mm-hmm. We were all like, there was no, like, this department's going to go or these people are going to go or people with this kind of seniority are going to go.
It was just very vague.
It was so vague. So all we could do is sit by the phone and wait. And it's really hard to just go about your day when a place that, you know, you work at, and I've already been laid off from one of my jobs, and I was like, great, I'm going to get laid off from a second job. And also, it's not just me, it's like all the people I care about, like my friends, these people who I've worked with for over six years. Yeah, I've been there 6.5 years, so it's...
You have a lot at stake.
It was a lot at stake, and also, like, so many people are, like, still, like, getting their schooling through Disney, or, like, having their healthcare benefits through Disney, and all of a sudden, it's like, that's all going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
So... Essentially, long story short, I had to sit for 3 days as I would continually... I started calling it doom scrolling because I would just be on Twitter and, like, I have a lot of my Disney friends on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And I would just do this doom scrolling where I would, like, scroll, scroll, refresh, refresh just to see people saying, oh, I got the call. I got the call. I got the call. And it just was happening around me over and over. And I watched... some of my favorite coworkers, some of my very good friends, some people, one of my coworkers who had 25 years of experience, another one who had 50 years of experience.
50. That is so insane.
Who were let go in one day with a phone call.
Yeah.
And
wow.
As of right now, knock on wood, I'm one of the lucky ones who hasn't gotten a phone call. And it's... weird, and I have tried to analyze with myself why wasn't I called, and there are certain other people that like have a similar role as me who weren't called, but then there were also people who had way more experience and who what I thought had a more substantial role in the company than I do, who work way more hours than I do, who did get let go. And
you can't do anything besides speculate, though, and that's what's frustrating.
Yeah, and it's been really hard because I'm trying to come up with, make sense of something. When something terrible is happening, your brain wants to make sense of it, find a rhyme, find a reason, find some kind of justification as to why it is the way it is. And, like, there hasn't been anything. We've just heard a lot of vague statements, and I saw, like, entire departments get cut.
It's hard to just sit by and watch,
too. It is, and it makes me feel shitty, like, honestly. Right. Like, it makes me feel like I don't deserve to be here. Like, I want to give them my spot. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of people that felt that way, because they even made an announcement to us, like, no, you cannot give your spot to someone else. So I think that there's, like, a lot of people who are feeling that way.
Because there's a big sense of guilt that comes with that.
There is. And I'm not trying to make it about me, because I know some people have been, like, making it all about them. Like, oh, well, it's going to be even harder for me to go back than for you. Like, for me to go back and, you know, deal with the survivor's guilt. And I think there's just been a lot of insensitivity happening instead of putting the focus on the people that did lose their jobs and who are losing their schooling being paid for, mm-hmm. and who are, you know, losing all these things. And, you know, I'm sure he'll have made his public post by the time this episode comes out. So Jason, my boyfriend, was one of the people who got laid off. And, you know, he'd only worked at the company for a year, but in that year he had made amazing friends, gotten some really cool growth in his career and his job knowledge and, like, all these things. And he only got a year. Like, it doesn't feel fair. And I can't just
speculate. None of it is fair.
None of it's fair. None of those people that love their job should have gotten laid off. It just... And I mean, I don't want to get into a whole thing about capitalism and corporate salaries and bad talking the company. That's not my position. I don't want to do that. I have a lot of mixed feelings about some of the way things were handled. I think everybody does who's in this situation. But I don't know the full story. Like, I can't speak for the company. I can't speak for every single employee who they cut. I can't speak for any of that. And it's just been very hard to feel like I just don't have concrete answers. And I also still haven't gotten any kind of email that says, you're safe. You know, I haven't gotten any kind of confirmation that I haven't been laid off. It just hasn't happened yet. I think we're through the worst of it. Even when I go back, if I do go back, like, it's never going to be the same. And it's just been very, very hard. So I know that was a lot. That was a lot of heavy. It's like more than a lemon to me. It's like, it's heartbreaking. Like, it's been such a difficult week. Not only worrying about myself, but just watching so many people I love and care about had their livelihood uprooted in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you find the lemonade in that?
Well, I would say that lemonade is that they said that they will hire them back before hiring new people. So there is hope that at some point...
some people could come back.
Right. Like, they could, you know, get their same job back.
It might be not as permanent for some people as it's led to look right now.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, you never know how things could shift. And, like, they have to lay them off because they're still not open now. And maybe, you know, in the next couple months, if they are able to reopen to an extent that's safe, things could change again. I don't know. I'm just guessing, but...
I would like to hope so. But I feel like some people, even if they got that chance, maybe wouldn't want to go back because they just feel so burned, you know? But maybe for some people who relied on Disney and thought that was what their trajectory is going to be. Like, again, go back to our rejection episode. It's redirection. Maybe some of these people are going to, I know some of them will, you know, go on to lead brilliant, amazing careers that aren't with Disney that they never could have imagined. You know, yeah. You know, you never know. I'm not trying to say they deserved it in any way because they never, ever did. But it's, I guess I just have to be, you know, hold on to hope and hold on to the faith that these are all incredible people who had a tragic thing happen to them. But that doesn't, you know, the magic that they were able to create and the magic that those people have is within them. And they, you know, that they can take that magic wherever they go. It doesn't have to be Disneyland. I'm, you know, doing my best to reach out to the people who were affected and show my support. Trying to, like, you know, not make it about me. And, like...
and they're still around. Like, you can still see them and keep up with them.
Of course, and I'm so grateful for social media because we can, you know, message and talk. And, you know, they already have made, like, support groups. And, like, people are reaching out to each other with, like, links and access to mental health services and, like, you know, things like that. So, you know, we're really coming together as a cast. And I think everyone feels this heartbreak together. And we're here to help each other get through it.
Aww, I'm giving her a hug.
Aww.
Well, and this is a very rare sight of physical affection for me.
Normally she just taps my knee and says, comfort.
I feel like I've talked about this a lot on the podcast, but now the chapter is finally closed because I finally this morning took the Presidential Management Fellows exam. So it is in the past. It is done. I cannot go back and change it and worry about the answers or anything.
It didn't tell you how well you did, right?
No, you don't get a score. Okay. I don't think you ever get a score. But if you pass, and well, not if you pass, but if you're a finalist, you'll find out around Thanksgiving. So it's about 4 to 6 weeks. That's my fingers crossed, is just looking forward to finding out, I guess. Or if I don't get it, then looking forward to not getting it.
If you don't get it, just listen to our rejection episode on repeat until you feel better.
And I know that it's like a very small sliver of people that actually qualify, so I'm not really going to be torn up if I don't get it.
But then again, people, like, so many people who aren't qualified apply to these things too, and I think you are qualified.
Well, but the thing is it's all about this test. Yeah. They don't even look at your resume. They just look at, to make sure that
Jason
you...
Jason told me about that.
Yeah, so it's not about your qualifications or your skills. It's literally just if you pass, if you are in the highest percentage of people that score on this test. I'm not going to say I did well, but I felt good about
it. You felt confident.
I
That's
felt
good,
better
yeah.
about it than I expected, is what I'll say. I okay. definitely, like, once I finished the sections, wasn't like, oh my God, I have no idea what that was. Like, I feel scrambled, mm-hmm. which kind of makes me worry because I feel like when you feel like you did well, it's when you did badly. Mm-hmm. And then when you feel like you bombed things, that's when you get them. Maybe I'm thinking of, like, job interviews. That's always how it's been for me. But this test, I feel...
Yeah, because I was going to say, anytime I've taken a test and I thought I did badly, I usually
yeah,
did pretty...
Yeah, see, isn't
no,
that
I
the case?
I usually did badly.
Oh.
That was me. But that's, like, if you're taking, like, a French test and, like... it's like an answer in French and you write like 23 because you have no idea.
No.
But that's also just like...
Well, I'm usually a pretty good test taker, but this is also just like a very different style of test. Like some of the questions right. are really weird. It's like situations in a job that's like, I don't know. Anyway, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can take it if you've gotten a master's degree in the last 2 years or you're getting one in the next year. It's called Presidential
but
Management
you can,
Fellows.
The closing date is the 14th.
Yeah, so this will go up on Tuesday and it closes Wednesday. So if you
Oh yeah,
qualify,
so you'll have 1 day to study and take the
there
test.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fingers crossed that I do well. But again, I feel like I've been talking about that a lot on this podcast. And now we'll close the chapter until I find out if I got it or
until
not.
Until you get it. And so does Jason. And then you both get fancy jobs.
Fancy jobs where we wear the suits. Yeah, that's my fingers crossed. So what cool. are you looking forward to in the next week?
I'm looking forward to Jason's birthday next week.
Yay.
Jason's turning 25.
He's finally going to be
joining
the
25
club
that we talked about in another episode. Wasn't I like, yeah, it sucks. Well, in 2020 it does. But yes.
Being 25 is exciting because then you can rent a car fee-free.
And I do that so often. Jason is turning 25 on October 16th, so happy early birthday to my love. And so...
Your Libra, right?
My Libra. My ENTJ Libra. So send him some love on October 16th to my mans.
Yay.
At JWPew on Instagram. JWPEUGH. Send him a birthday message.
Wow. The shameless plug even before our podcast Instagram.
well, okay, yeah, and follow us at Fingers Crossed Pod so you can be a part of the podcast and send us questionnaire stories on Instagram. Okay, anyway.
Looks like you were reading that off a teleprompter just now. Wow, she really got that drilled in, you guys.
Yeah, I have some side experience as an auctioneer. It's fine. Cool. Yeah, we're going to have like a really small game night with like 3 people.
Fine.
And like play some games and it'll be fun.
Celebrate.
Maybe drink some wine.
Good times, come on. Play some mousetrap.
Yes, I'll definitely make a cake.
First, we're going to talk about the one, the only zodiac star sign, astrological things.
Yes, and so... I had the CoStar app a while ago. Okay, before we get into that, last episode we did about this, we talked just about the fact that we're Geminis, and that's all. And that, like, we are very similar, but also different. But
the
our Gemini personality traits are some of the reasons why we're such good friends. Like, our spontaneity, our talkativeness, our silliness. Like, a lot of those things that are, like, traditional...
Adventuring.
And all that are traditional Gemini traits. But there's so much more to your zodiac than that, and we had several people say, oh, do your birth chart, like your rising sign, your moon sign, all that. So both of us refreshed our CoStar so that we have all of that to read to you about our entire birth chart.
So we're going to just like touch on a few of the other things. I know that there's so, so many different aspects. We're not going to get too detailed, and I know this might frustrate some people, but again, we're doing a very...
We have to save time
look.
For BuzzFeed, y'all. It's
yeah,
important.
True. Okay, so we're going to just talk about our sun, moon, and rising signs mostly, I would say.
Is rising the ascendant?
Yes.
Okay.
And we're both looking at our CoStars right now. We just actually became friends on CoStar, so.
Okay, you read the sun in Gemini, which applies to both of us.
Okay, cool. So we both have our sun in Gemini. The sun determines your ego, identity, and role in life. It's the core of who you are, and it's the sign you're most likely to already know. Which we do.
We do.
Your sign is in Gemini, meaning you're fundamentally dynamic, quick-witted, eclectic. I thought that said electric for a second. I was like, yeah.
Plug me in, baby.
Eclectic and curious. Fascinated by everything, your childlike energy is often scattered in a million directions. On a social level, this may come off as gossipy or flaky. So mine says it's your fourth house. What does yours say?
Ninth house.
Oh, fourth house says you mean, or you need to distinguish yourself from others through home and family. Interesting.
Oh, this is interesting. Mine says it's in your ninth house, meaning you need to distinguish yourself from others through philosophy, faith, education, and politics.
Wow, I feel like ours are opposite. Anyway, so that's just our basic sign. That's like everyone when you say, what's your star sign? Mm-hmm. That's your sun sign. So now our moon sign is where we're different. I'm a moon Gemini.
Which is so interesting. And I am moon in Cancer, which after reading my description, I think makes perfect sense. Like, so perfectly.
So this also just goes to illustrate, like, us diving a little bit deeper into it in the different facets of how ours are, you know, diverging.
Because Christy and I are not the same. We have some lovely similarities, but we also have quite a basket of differences.
Quite the basket. Would you like to read part of the basket with your moon sign?
Absolutely. So mine is the moon in Cancer, which for me says, the moon rules your emotions, moods, and feelings. This is likely the sign you most think of yourself as, since it reflects your personality when you're alone or deeply comfortable. Your moon is in Cancer, meaning your emotional self is sensitive, thoughtful, and empathetic. You have a tendency to feel like a martyr and secretly fear being abandoned by those you love. You often have trouble letting things go and feel like an emotional wreck. It's your 10th house, meaning you find security and safety through success and responsibility, which seems very
This is very illuminating, because if you hear mine, like, this is definitely where we're different.
Like, that's not you at all.
No, definitely not, but it is you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mine is moon in Gemini, so I'm double Gemini. So it says, your emotional self is often restless and unsettled. You're extremely adaptable, which sometimes makes you feel pulled in too many directions. You're easily bored and need to feel like you're free to be creative and create meaning, which can make you feel like you're in a constant identity crisis.
Wow.
See, doesn't that sound like me?
Yeah. Especially the constantly bored thing. Like, you hate being tied to anything. You always want to be stimulated, always, like, doing the next exciting thing. Routine scares you. Like, all those things were things we talked about, I think, from your Myers-Briggs.
Which makes sense. Yeah, that's, like, the Gemini moon sort. So that's, like, I don't know. I think it makes sense because I feel like some, like, when we'll send each other Gemini memes. I like looking at the astrology memes just for fun.
Oh, astrology memes are hilarious.
Yeah.
They should start making, like, Myers-Briggs memes.
They do.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen any. I'll have to do that.
Up. Yeah. Anyway, so I definitely see myself a lot more in some of the Gemini memes that I think might highlight the moon things that I don't see you in as much.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just feel like it makes more sense that those two.
Well, because, like, some of the Cancer memes I think suit me as far as, like, being overly emotional, getting offended by the tiniest things, like,
yeah, see, I'm definitely not like that.
Crying when someone else is crying, like, things like that.
There you go. Okay, next is your rising sign. So ours are both in Aquarius, right? Or no?
Wait, the ascendant or the rising?
Ascendant.
I think not my anus.
My anus is an Aquarius.
Uranus is an Aquarius. So my ascendant is in Virgo. Your ascendant is the mask you present to people, which I think is so interesting because I have had an issue with masking, like, for a long time, you know?
Mask yourself.
Okay, it says, it can be seen in your personal style and how you come across to people when you first meet. Some say it becomes less relevant as you get older. That makes so much sense. It changes every... Wait.
2 hours?
It changes every 2 hours. So if it doesn't make sense, text your mom to confirm your birth time.
Oh, every 2 hours of your birth time. Not, like, every 2 hours of your life.
Interesting. Your ascendant is in Virgo, meaning you come across as precise, diligent, peace-seeking, and organized. You may seem a bit too attached to your work, to details, and the pursuit of perfection, which sometimes makes you seem a bit boring. Now, I don't necessarily agree that I seem boring. I think I sometimes seem kind of, like, uptight to some people. Like, rigid, like, I'm too obsessed. Yes, very type A. But that, again, is more the mask I present. I always wanted, especially, like, when I was in college and dealing with, you know, masking a lot and not being comfortable with who I really am. I was very into, like, oh, I'm, like, the student body president, cheerleader, perfectly organized, put together, perfect outfits, perfect hair, perfect, you know, presentation, choosing my words ever so carefully so that I seem like the perfect put together person all the time, which I feel like is very much this ascendant in Virgo statement.
Yeah. That's interesting. I've never really looked into the rising thing and how I didn't know that it was, like, your mask that you present to other people. But mine is in Aquarius. So it says your ascendant is in Aquarius, meaning you come across as broad-minded, intellectual, and prone to abstraction, though somewhat detached or abrupt in your dealings with the world. Your unconventional interests may seem eccentric or pretentious to others, which I think is very true.
Interesting.
As far as, like, very abstract thinker, very, like, I do well in academic settings and, like, thinking of things abstractly and, like, big ideas.
But did say something that you come into trouble with being, like, blunt or being...
Though somewhat detached and abrupt in your dealings with the world.
Right, which sometimes I feel like you and I have run into, because imagine me with my moon in Cancer getting offended very easily or feeling so sensitive, and then you being very abrupt with the world sometimes... Like,
it doesn't.
We'll run into that sometimes. Well, yeah. You're just trying to joke and be like, you know, haha, ugly shirt, bitch. And I'll be like, ah, my feelings.
Like we both said earlier, we don't, like, truly, well, I won't speak for you, but I, at my core, do not believe that your entire personality and everything is fated because of when you were born and everything.
Yeah.
I, like, logically, my brain just can't get on that train. But at the same time, it is very fun. And it's just interesting to entertain the idea and to, like, learn about it. And I don't know. It's funny because I say that I don't believe it, but everything is, like, confirming myself. Yeah,
like, why is that? That everything you just said, I'm like, as me, I know you so well. And you know me so well. Why is it that everything makes perfect sense and everything for you makes perfect sense? And if, like, I would have gotten that for me, I would have been like, oh, I don't agree.
Right.
You know? So it's just, it's so strange that everyone else who I know is on this silly app feels the same.
Silly. That's a strong word.
Well, I say silly because, again, there's no proof. There's nothing in science. There's no, like, oh, I was raised in this and nature versus nurture. I mean, it's literally just, like, literally when you were born and where. That's all it is. And I just think that's so interesting. Yeah. Like, it just makes me wonder, like, is there some kind of cosmic connection between all beings and all stars in the universe and other planets and life? Is this great, beautiful spiritual miracle that no one understands, but there's proof all right in our hands on our phones?
Live on air, you're listening to Sierra question everything she's ever thought about her existence.
All because of an app called CoStar.
Anyway, so there's a bunch of other ones. We're not going to keep reading about every single one, but let's just look at the ones that are similar. So we're both scrolling through.
What's your Mercury?
Gemini.
Me too.
Okay.
So which is how you communicate. Which is like, yeah, like dynamic, quick-witted, eclectic, curious, energy and this is scattered, talking in a million directions.
How we get along so well, I think.
Yeah.
Is we have similar communication in some ways like this, I'd say.
The way you speak is articulate and witty, but you're likely to talk behind people's backs.
My Venus is Taurus.
Me too.
Oh. How you love. You move slowly and deliberately at the beginning of relationships. Intimidity is something that sometimes comes off as intimidating. What?
Your romantic side as a Venus in Taurus is oriented towards comfort and stability. For me, that is true for me. I think because I flit around so much, you know, I want to have, like, my home base be something of stability because I'm so...
unstable.
Psycho.
Now we're just going to talk a little bit, I think, like, more abstractly about Zodiac and how it's played a role in our lives and, like, our dealings with others, I guess. Because Sierra has made it clear on the podcast before, if you listen to... Was it the dating episode? We don't work with Taurus men.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No Taurus.
And I mean, I have nothing against Taurus people, but like I have dated like 3 different Taurus men and it's always like been problematic for personality reasons. And when I like analyze or look up what like are the classic signs or classic personality traits of Tauruses, they're oftentimes why the relationship didn't work out. And it's just so interesting. And I've always been told that, like, okay, air signs are compatible with other air signs. So for Gemini, that's Aquarius and Libra. Water signs are compatible with other water signs. So, like, you know, Pisces is really good with Cancer, things like that. And so I've always been like, okay, I need to find a Libra or an Aquarius. And that's always been, like, in the back of my mind. Not like I'm going to not date somebody.
Yeah, because, like you're actually making decisions based on it.
No, but I'm always like, I'm curious when I go on a first date with someone, I want to find out their birthday just to see if I've finally found my Libra or Aquarius. And with Jason, I did. His birthday is next week and it's Libra season.
Imagine if his moon sign was an Aquarius.
Whoa. Well, now I'm going to make him do it. I'm so curious now. I'll be like, hey, babe, can we do your birth chart, please? Thanks.
God, you're going to be that bitch. Anyway, I don't know. I feel like I've never noticed a strong pattern like that where I'm like, oh, my God, every single person that I hate is this sign. Well, not that I hate anyone. But you know what I mean? We got a question on our Instagram. Why did Geminis get such a bad rap? And I think it's just because there's a lot of controversial Geminis. Like, Geminis are strong personalities.
And they're often times like the double personality, like talk behind your back, backstabbing, manipulative, like all of the things that involve like words that can be used as poison, because Geminis are very good at that, should they choose to be. However, with that capacity for poisonous words, we also have the capacity for like brilliance and wittiness and articulation and cleverness and like
with great power comes great responsibility.
And that is the Gemini in a nutshell.
Oh my god, I wonder if Spider-Man Peter Parker was a Gemini. We should look it up. When did I first learn about Zodiac? I think I learned about it from my mom. My mom's not even like super into it, but she has a tattoo on her ring finger. And I always asked her, I was like, what is this tattoo, Mom? And she's like, oh, it's the Sagittarius sign, because she's a Sagittarius. Mm-hmm. And she's like, actually, I don't even know. I should ask her, like, how strongly she believes in this. But when she was 16, she gave herself a stick and poke tattoo of her Sagittarius.
Dang.
And her whole thing was that she was going to get her, I mean, again, like, she was 16, so I don't know. But she was going to get, instead of a diamond ring when she got married, she would have her lover's Sagittarius or Zodiac sign like intertwined with it on her finger, but she never did, and it's just her sign. My dad's also a Gemini, but I don't know if that would look good with her sign. But anyway, so I don't know. I feel like I learned about it from her, but I was never like, as a kid, I was never like super into it. There was never a time in my life where I was like, oh my god, Zodiac is everything.
Did you not have like a local paper that had like next to the comics and like the Ask Amy's, they had like a Zodiac thing where you would like have your daily horoscope? Did you not have anything like that?
Mm-mm.
Because that's how I learned about it.
Was the paper?
Yeah, it was the Oregonian. We got the Oregonian to our door every day, which was our local paper. In the, like, comics section page, there'd be the two pages of comics, and there'd be the advice columns, like, Ask Ashlyn and Ask Amy, and then they would have a crossword, and then they'd have a page of the Zodiacs, and it would tell you at the top, like, Gemini, these birth dates, Taurus, these birth dates. So, like, even for a kid, you could be like, oh, my birthday's in this one.
Yeah.
And you could find it. When I started reading the comics page when I was, like, 6, 7 years old, I loved the comics. Like, I just thought they were so funny. So I would read those from the time I was, like, 6 or 7, and I knew I was a Gemini. And pretty much I would read the paper with breakfast every morning before going to school, and I would read my horoscope every single morning before going to school. Mm-hmm. And if it was a good one, I would take it to heart. If it was a bad one, I'd say, not today, and I'd shut the paper.
This is a bunch of poo-poo.
Yeah, but I would always apply it. Like, for example, if it was a good one, I would take it as word, like, oh, I have such a crush on this boy. And it's like, you will be fortunate in love today. I'd be like, yes, he's going to tell me he likes me. Or I would be like, I'm going to wear this pretty shirt today because my horoscope, like, I literally it and take it literally. But if it said something like, you're not on your best today, like, be careful, bad things could happen to you, I'd be like, no.
This must mean someone else. Yeah. They must have me confused.
Yeah. But it's been a part of my life for a long time. And anytime I was, like, at a magazine kiosk or something, and it would be like, read your all about your horoscope here, I would always flip to that page and read it before I put it back on the stand and walked away.
Okay, so now you've heard all about our zodiac signs and our rising and our moon and our Venus.
I love it because I feel like I understand myself better than I did before. I mean, like, again, we are so obsessed with personality tests. I understood myself perfectly well before, but I feel like as far as my zodiac goes, now that I have this Cancer moon thing, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, see, all we had to do was read one extra page that we hadn't read our entire lives, and we're like, wow.
I'm totally, yes, it all makes sense now.
Anyway, oh, shit.
Ma'am.
Anyway, we wanted to take a quiz on the air, like I said, live, in studio.
On the air, in the studio.
Did you hear about this first, the aura test? Or where did we get this from?
I've heard of, like, aura stuff, like, my whole life. Like, I feel like in my Waldorf school, just like, yeah, like, what color you let off. It's like a
yellow
very...
Yellow is the color
it's
of
like
your energy.
Super, that's all I think of. Yeah, it's like a super spiritual thing, and I, again, my school I went to growing up was very into, like, spiritual and connection and energy and kumbaya.
I feel like there's a conflict between the aura and your energy and an online quiz. I feel like you just need to experience someone's energy in person, you know what I mean? Well, obviously there's a margin for error.
That's true, but they're saying it's almost like Enneagram, because it's like saying...
It's that, questions about...
Yeah, that, like, okay. the color of your energy matches certain, like, qualities you possess or interests.
Anyway, so if you'd like to follow along, since we're going to take this live, we're going to discuss the questions and see how ours are similar and different. It's magicquiz.com. What color matches your aura? So, first question. It is a woman intently looking at herself in the mirror, and it says, when you're being totally honest, you describe yourself as ... A, having a fiery temper.
B, a self-absorbed daredevil. It's all about my own personal adventure. Christy.
C, cheerful, spontaneous, and physically hyper. I'm a spaz, but I'm a fun spaz.
Okay. 4, responsible, driven, and a bit of a scary perfectionist.
Nice. 5, above everything else, I seek love and harmony. Can't relate.
And 6, I'm a big dreamer. Usually I'm somewhere else mentally.
Okay, so that's kind of a big question. Just describing yourself in general. I don't know. I'm kind of torn between big dreamer and self-absorbed daredevil. What do you think I am? You think I'm the self-absorbed, right?
I mean, I more relate to you on the second part, that it's all about my own personal adventure. To me, that, like, is very much you.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you're not a dreamer, but I don't think you're somewhere else mentally. You're not one of those, like, yeah, in the clouds, like, checked out, like, La La Land.
That's true.
Skipping daisies.
I am very, like, logical also, which isn't necessarily, like, somewhere else mentally. Okay, I'll go with self-absorbed daredevil.
I'm choosing cheerful, spontaneous, hyper-spaz.
I would agree with
but
that.
But a fun spaz.
But also, I would say you seek love and harmony. But I guess, like...
I do, but it's... But I wouldn't say it's above all else. Like, I still...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Am a, like, cheerful, spontaneous spaz. Like, I feel like, I mean, of all my friends, I'm the one that people would call a spaz.
True. Okay, number two. Would you like to read it?
Yes. Your best friend just had an awful breakup. How do you help them feel better? Number one, trash talk about their ex, duh.
Two, give them a shoulder to cry on and maybe some ice cream, too.
Three, take them out on the town. They'll forget about that ex soon enough.
Four, convince them to do something active.
Five, I have to get going.
Sierra just gave me a look.
I feel like you're more the type that'd be the take them out on the town and they'll forget about it. Like, you're very into the distraction, like...
Yeah.
Kind of like a tough love, get over it, but not in an uncaring way. Just like, no, you're not worth this. Let's do something fun.
Yeah.
That's more I think how I see you, but I feel like there have been times when it comes to emotional things, you're like, I don't have the capacity to deal with this.
Well, also, it's not that I don't retreat from helping people with their feelings, but I know myself, and I know that I, like, would always use logic to, like, rationalize people and, like, explain to them why things are a certain way, and that might not be what they need to hear because they just need to, like, validate their feelings. And I'm like, actually...
It might come across as, like, uncaring or harsh.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be uncaring. I'm just trying to get them to see it logically if they're feeling, like, very... You know what I mean? So I guess that's where I'm coming from with the, like, oh, I have to get going. But I do think I would be, like, more take them out on the town is an actual...
Yeah, like, remember that time when I had a horrible, horrible boy thing in college, and I was, like, crying, and there was, like, we came back from the bar, and, like, mascara was running all down my face, and Mina was sitting on the couch with me, and she was, like, stroking my hair, holding my hand, crying with me, or not crying with me, but, you know, like, essentially being there for me while I cried, and you got up, left the room, and I was like, okay, but you came back and you'd made me a grilled cheese, and you were like, I'm sorry you're sad, but I made you a grilled cheese, and I was like, that's, like, the perfect, like, example of Chris, you still want to be there to help, you just aren't necessarily the one that's, like,
crying.
Tell me everything about your feelings right now. Anyway, I'm picking for myself the give them a shoulder to cry on and maybe some ice cream, too. I feel like that is me.
All right, number three, what job could you see yourself doing? First, entertainer.
Second, explorer.
Personal trainer.
Stockbroker.
Psychologist.
Writer.
Okay, well, I feel like you're going to go for entertainer.
I don't know. I mean, I love being an entertainer, but, like, I also could definitely see myself being a writer, too. I feel like that's also very much up my alley. But as far as what
I'm... More than entertainer, though?
No, I mean, it's what I'm currently pursuing, so I guess I should pick that.
I'm going to go with stockbroker.
Ew, that's the worst one.
I'm kidding. Hey, don't offend the stockbrokers of the world.
I mean, no, there's nothing wrong if you love being a stockbroker. I mean, it's the worst one for what I would enjoy.
I think I'm going to say explorer, but I also hardcore would see myself as a psychologist, because I love psychology and I love learning
about
people.
Like, isn't being part of a psychologist, like...
Rationalizing people's comforting? Feelings? But it's not... It's about... Logic, I would say.
I feel like you'd be perfect on, like, a good cop, bad cop psychology team.
Okay, I'm gonna go with explorer, then.
Okay, great. I think you'd be a perfect explorer.
Thank you.
Next up. Scientists have developed a serum that allows you to stay the same age for 50 years, but you're limited in your choices. Ooh, which
this
do you
interesting.
Pick?
Shoot, okay.
Number one, 4 years old. Young, innocent, no responsibilities.
15 years old, growing into adulthood, but not quite there yet. Listening to Taylor Swift's 15 on repeat for the rest of your life.
Next, 50 years old, comfortable in my life and career, but still working.
Ooh, 70 years old, wise and retired.
Next, I wouldn't take it. I'm happy with my life as it is.
That's a big jump from 15 to 50.
Well, I think it's because they know if it was, they said 22, everyone would pick it.
Yeah, that's true.
So they probably picked different ones.
I'm going to say I wouldn't take it.
Me too.
Our first agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number five, if you were going to spend time in nature, where would you like it to be? These are just pictures, so we're going to describe them as best as we can. The first one looks like hills and mountains and
it looks
rock.
Like, it's like the High Sierra or Yosemite background on Mac.
Oh,
okay. But very green comparison versus orange.
Mm-hmm. There's a little lake in there.
Maybe kind of like Swiss Alps or Colorado.
I'm going to just say mountains.
But it's green. It's like springtime green mountains.
Yeah.
The next one is a sunset beach.
The next one is a snowy wood.
And then the last one, I would say, is kind of like a prairie with, like, grass and wheat and a big, beautiful tree and sunset. Kind of like maybe country farm.
Yeah, like a sunset field.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with the first one, the Yosemite Mountains. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love all of them.
Yeah. I'm going to pick the green one, too. It just speaks to me the most.
Nice. We'll be there together at the current age that we are.
Yes, exactly. Okay, number six. The last time things went badly for you, it was probably because A, I was too impulsive and didn't think clearly.
I was too vain.
I thought too much and I was overly critical of myself.
I was too untrusting and jealous.
I was too sensitive and worried too much.
And I was totally misunderstood.
Hmm.
I'm going to obviously say impulsive.
See myself in a lot of these.
I have a lot of issues.
I'm going to go with I was too sensitive and worried too much.
Okay. Makes sense. Okay, I think that's it. We're going to press
the quiz.
Watch it take us to like some... Oh, there's more. Okay.
Oh, there's more. Oh, okay.
I was going to say six is kind of short. So next is, what do you wish other people envied about you?
Ooh.
Hmm. My looks.
My status.
My energy.
My creativity.
My passion.
What? I don't want people envy anything about me.
That's a cop-out answer.
Yeah.
Everyone would, like, say that, but I feel like to get a real sense of your aura, you should actually pick one. So I'm going to say my energy. I feel like that's the biggest compliment, which is funny that we're taking an energy quiz. Yeah. When people just tell you that you have, like, good, positive energy about you, you know? Like, things you can't necessarily pinpoint. I don't know.
I'm going to say the same.
Nice. Okay, next.
In relationships, what do you find yourself fighting about the most often?
This girl's like, what? This picture.
Number one, things you've said or done without really thinking.
Two is the amount of time you want to spend alone.
Three, you're flirting.
Four, everything that bothers you about your partner. Nothing's wrong with you.
Five, your hurt feelings.
And the last is your beliefs. Politics, religion, life, philosophy.
Well, if it's the last one, you maybe shouldn't be with that person. I guess it's all relationships. It's not just romantic, huh?
Yeah.
Or is it romantic?
It just says relationships. It doesn't say romantic relationships.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would probably say...
I'm going to go with the top one for me. Things you've said or done without thinking.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. No, I also would go with the first one because I am impulsive.
Well, here's our Gemini. We are sometimes similar about certain things. Ooh, which planet do you feel a special connection to? Oh, there's only four choices.
Damn, not even Pluto.
We've got Mercury, the red planet.
Venus.
And Jupiter.
And Neptune. I don't know. I don't really feel drawn to any of these. Never been, you know?
I'm picking Jupiter. I like its stripes.
Okay. I'm kind of feeling Neptune. It looks, like, kind of eerie.
Yeah, that one just feels like...
It's, like, glowing in the picture.
It's kind of, like, far removed and cold looking to me.
Great. Perfect. Love that for me. That's where I belong. Number 10 is, when it comes to friends, you'd rather have A, as many as possible.
B, a few close ones.
C, more than a few, but less than a lot.
And last, I'm not really concerned either way, actually.
I'm going to go with a few close ones. Quality over quantity.
Yeah.
As far as friends.
I'm going to say more than a few, less than a lot.
Nice. Middle ground.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel when you woke up this morning?
Tired. First is pretty energized.
Next, excited to take on the day.
Frustrated.
Nothing special. I just woke up.
Totally relaxed.
A little sad, I suppose.
I'm going to go with excited to take on the day.
Nice. Pretty energized.
Nice. Look at us.
Not every morning, but today.
Yeah. Which of these statements do you agree with most? First is, I'm very independent and have reached a position of power in my life.
Whoa. Next, I have a weird, wild, wonderful lifestyle, and I don't care if people hate it.
Nice. I live for making other people happy.
I consider myself a very accomplished and well-balanced person.
I am spiritual and caring. Material things aren't that important to me.
And I have a message, and I have a message and cause I want to share with the world.
I think I'm going to go with, I have a weird, wild, wonderful lifestyle.
And you don't care if people hate it.
Yeah. Here's like,
I don't want to say that I don't want to say that I live for making other people happy because it makes it seem like I don't do anything for myself, but I definitely care very much about making other people happy.
Yeah.
I
think it's like in relation to the other ones too. Like you don't have to take it at face value.
But I also like the, I consider myself accomplished and well balanced. I feel like that's also me. I'm
going to say
accomplished and well balanced.
Okay, moving on. Last question.
How would you rate this quiz?
I'm going to go with, it was pretty okay.
I'll say I loved it. Show me my results.
Here we go. Hold tight. The wizard is
wizard.
Working.
Yeah, it's like a little wizard that's like sparkling at us.
Yellow! Oh my god! We both have the same. It's the song. Yellow is the color of your energy.
A deeply happy and content person, you always share your cheer with others. You can always be counted on for optimism and encouragement, and you have a knack for saying just the right thing at the right time.
And while you may seem like a simple optimist, there's a lot of thinking going on inside of you. Weird term. Thought you occasionally... What?
I think it's
though. Oh, someone just mistyped. Though you occasionally overanalyze, you only mean to make yourself and other people as happy as possible.
Look at this woman.
These ads. Okay, well, yeah.
I don't know. I'm curious. I once found an Instagram account that had, like, auras on it. Like, mm-hmm. like different, like, auras.
The colors?
Yeah, like, not memes almost, but just, like, picture categories that showed you, like, oh, if you relate to this set of pictures, you're this. So I'll find it, and I'll show it because I'm curious if we actually both are yellow.
Yeah.
Just because it, like, I mean, it's a silly internet quiz. I mean,
and it's also just, like... You're super happy. Good for you. Like, yeah. That was our entire aura.
I love how you said that, like, Mario.
Yahoo! Wahoo! Life is good. Okay, so I guess we don't really have that much to discuss about that. Maybe we should have vetted the quiz better. I mean, it was, like, a fun quiz that was, like, easy to answer.
But some of the questions you and I did feel the same on, but then other ones we felt very differently. So I think
there was more that we disagreed on than agreed on. So yeah. It's interesting that we were both yellow. But I wonder what other colors, like, I mean, how many options there were.
I think there's 7.
Okay, well...
Anyway, should we do our next quiz? Same.
I definitely think that we'll get different answers for the next one.
Yes. If you're an aura expert, let us know. I want to know what you guys think Christy and I are, if you are like someone who's really into energies and colors and all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Often associated with joy and freedom, yellow auras are considered to be indicators of lightheartedness and a fun, loving nature, which I guess is kind of like our Gemini side that collides mm-hmm. or overlaps. So it does make sense. But I feel like the aura, I expect it to be deeper than that. Mm-hmm. Now on to the real scientists in the room. It's BuzzFeed's We Know the Exact Day You'll Get Married Based on the Dream Life You Create. So this That's will be hilarious. A very interesting...
I love BuzzFeed quizzes.
I feel like I haven't taken a BuzzFeed quiz since, like, 2017.
Well, can't relate. I take BuzzFeed quizzes. Not, like, recently, but, like, I used to take them, like, all the time.
Here we go. If you want to follow along, just Google it. BuzzFeed... We know the exact day you'll get married based on the dream life you create.
Insert wedding bells here.
Okay, are we ready for this?
First question is, what is your dream job? Actor, teacher, doctor, author.
Those are the only options?
Yeah, well, it is BuzzFeed. I'm going to go with actor.
I'm going to go with author. Okay, where do you live? Paris, New York, Los Angeles, or Rome? Well, I'm going to go with New York.
I'm going to say Paris.
Oh, this is dream life. I forgot.
Yeah, this is what you want.
Oh. Well, I'm going to say New York anyway.
Okay.
Okay. What celeb are you married to? This is very scientific.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a choice.
Oh, hell yes, I'm going with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Oh, shit. How do I choose between Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Zac Efron?
Oh, man, that's hard.
Anyway, the other options are Chris Hemsworth, Rihanna, Idris Elba, and Janelle Monáe. So, damn, this is really difficult. I mean, I have to go with Zac Efron because it's, you know, since my youth, but Dwayne has a very close second. Maybe my second marriage will be Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I'm pick Zac Efron too. Sorry. Okay. What kind of house do you live in? A log cabin, a mansion, an apartment, or a tiny house?
Well, I would say my apartment is very close to a tiny house.
But what do you want to live in? Remember, it's dream world.
I'm going to go with apartment. Because if I'm living in New York, then it's going to be an apartment. Also, none of the other ones really speak to me.
Okay, I'm picking a mansion in Paris. I want, like, a chateau.
Okay.
Okay.
What kind of pet do you own?
This a dog? A carrot? A parrot?
A carrot. Honestly, me.
A dog? A cat? A parrot? I said a carrot. That's hilarious. I'm saying a cat.
I think I'm going to say a parrot, just for the hell of it.
Of course.
I feel like that'd be fun.
You in your tiny New York apartment with a parrot going, squawk! Christy's dumb! Squawk!
Finally, how many kids do you have? This is the last question. That was so quick. 1, 3, 5, or none? I'm going to say 3.
1.
Uno. Okay, are you ready for this? Drum roll, please.
Where's my answer?
It's, Sierra's entire life is just upside down. Okay, you guys, mark your calendars for June 21st, 2025, because on that day, the month after my 30th birthday, I will be married on that day.
Dude, if you're, like, getting married, like, around that time where you're, like, with someone, you have to put it on this date.
Let's look right now on my calendar what day of the week June 21st is.
I mean, I would hope they would, like, look and make it, like, I don't know, a Saturday, a Sunday or something.
Yeah, or a Tuesday. You never know. The day our podcast comes out.
2025?
Okay, we're going to June 21st. It's a Saturday.
Nice.
And my parents' anniversary is the 23rd, so
My parents' anniversary is June 6th.
Nice. June is a very popular wedding.
Well,
kind.
The reason,
but not
is
for Sierra because she's never getting married.
Yeah, my answer was you're never getting married. Just because I picked one child and a cat.
Hey, you're the one that loves BuzzFeed quizzes.
Well, this is bogus.
It's not real. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see where we are on June 21st, 2025.
Do you know why June is traditionally the wedding month?
Because it's not too hot and it's not too cold and all you need is a light jacket.
Good answer, but no, it's because back in older times when people did not bathe, May was the month everyone took their annual bath.
Oh!
Like hundreds of years ago. Annual bath. Isn't that a joke? One bath a year. And it was in May, and so people were still reasonably okay smelling by June, so they got married in June.
That is whack.
Isn't that crazy?
What do you mean reasonably okay smelling a month later?
I mean,
also, I'm putting my,
compared,
my wedding in my calendar.
Good. compared to, like, October when you hadn't, or, God forbid, April when you hadn't bathed in a year.
Jeez. Well, I guess I would take my annual bath on my birthday, probably.
Sometimes
May 29th.
I just think about, like, hundreds of years ago how bad people smelled.
Probably. I mean, they were so used to it, though. I bet their noses were just so out of tune with everything else because they could only smell themselves.
Right. That's also in weddings why the bride carried a bouquet. Is because the flowers were to distract the groom from her smelling badly.
What about to distract her from his smell, then?
Well, it's a patriarchal society, Christy. This is the kind of world we've lived
in. God. Okay, anyway, yeah, those were the quizzes that we wanted to take with you guys today. So if you took
what
them
fun.
Along with us.
What fun.
Yeah, comment on our Instagram today what your answers were. Like, what color aura you got, or what day you're going to get married. And then we'll all show up to each other's weddings on the days that it predicted.
Or your lack thereof. If you're like me and picked Zac Efron, a cat, one child, a mansion in Paris.
Well, now you're telling them what answers to get the, or maybe it's not even based on your answers. Maybe
it's just random generators.
And
I
completely lied about revealing the day based on your dream life.
Yeah, I mean, I think
you have a mansion all to yourself and a cat, and actually one child. It's not all to yourself.
Yeah,
or maybe you'd have
one child out of wedlock, I guess, and then it just lives with me and my cat and my mansion in Paris.
Well, hey, you might have a man's who's just not your betrothed.
That's true. We could just be one of those couples that just don't believe in marriage, and we just, you know, live together.
Possible. Anyway.
You guys, Christy really just added her wedding to June 2025.
No, I think it's funny to look back on the things. Sometimes, do you ever do that? I've randomly come across things in my calendar that I added like 4 years ago.
I love that.
Just for fun.
No, that's so funny.
It's like a message to your future self. Like, actually, I should add a note that says, remember when you took this BuzzFeed quiz when you and Sierra had a podcast?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like, wow, 5 years ago. And this is going to come back to, oh, shit, I need to listen to our 5 years from the now episode.
Yes, that's so true.
Remember when you had a podcast.
I mean, who knows? Maybe 3 or 5 years from now, we'll still have a podcast.
Right. But I'm just saying, for the sake of the remembering,
yes.
We're going to make it sound nostalgic. When you had a podcast and took a BuzzFeed quiz with Sierra. Okay, well, yeah. I feel like we don't even have anything conclusive to draw from that. The aura thing, we should definitely maybe take another quiz another time. Not
I know.
Off air.
I hope we don't offend anyone by, like, if aura is something you, like, is really special to you and we, like, just made light of it by taking a silly online quiz. But, like, we don't know where to find a good one. So if you have a good one, like, or you have insight about how to really learn your aura,
well, we
also
on Instagram, and no one sent specific quizzes. So I don't know if there is. That's what I'm saying. I feel like for auras, it's not necessarily the kind that would be. There's not necessarily a reputable online quiz for it.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that could just be, it's just fun to learn about it and kind of read about, just from basic questions, what yours would be. So
agreed.
That's what we got.
Well, that's all for today, guys. We had so much fun. Be sure to follow us at Fingers Crossed Pod on Instagram so you can be a part of the podcast. We do questionnaires, quizzes,
polls,
asking you your thoughts,
funny
posts, and all that good stuff. So go ahead and follow us on Instagram at Fingers Crossed Pod if you're not already.
And subscribe to the podcast because, number one, that's where you're going to get it every week, notified that we're uploading. So
yes, and we put out new episodes at 6 o'clock a.m. every single Tuesday. So look
be
forward
there
to those.
Or be square.
Or be circular.
Or be SpongeBob.
Triangular. All the shapes.
Wow, Phineas and Ferb.
Be a dodecahedron.
What is that, 12 sides?
12 sides.
Nice.
Nice.
Glad we got that. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Peace out.
Girl Scout.
Trying to one-up me.
Always.